This is Akashvani. In the weekly program Current Affairs, now we bring you a discussion on cabinet decisions regarding self-sufficiency and sustainability in agricultural sector. The participants are G. Chandrasekhar, agriculture expert, and S.P. Sharma, economic analyst. The moderator is Anubha Rohatki, anchor.
In a big boost for the agriculture sector and the farmers, Prime Minister Narendra Modi-led Union Cabinet has approved two schemes worth over 1 lakh crore rupees aimed at increasing farmers' income and ensuring food security for the middle class. Let's hear to what Union Minister Ashwini Vaishnav had to say while announcing the cabinet decisions yesterday.
Two big elements are. One is the PM Rashtriya Krushi Vikas Yojana. The other is the Krushi Unnati Yojana. You will see both of these in pillars. There are 9 elements. You will see many things from this. Unka seedha saadha, ekdam seedha connection hai kisanon ki income se, sustainable farming se, agriculture ke production se, aur saath hi saath hamare middle class.
The cabinet has also approved the National Mission on Edible Oils, Oil Seeds. To discuss the significance of these decisions, I am now joined by economic analyst S.P. Sharma and agriculture expert G. Chandrasekhar. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. My first question is to you, Mr. Sharma. The Union Cabinet has given nod to two major schemes related to agriculture. Please. The Pradhan Mantri Rashtriya Krishi Vikas Yojana, or the PMRKVY, which promotes sustainable agriculture. And the other scheme is Krishonati Yojana to achieve food security and agricultural self-sufficiency. How do you view this decision?
Yes, these are very great decisions because now we are moving ahead to become Viksit Bharat by 2047. So we have to become self-reliant in our agriculture and food scenario. So government is doing a lot, particularly in the post-COVID year. So I believe this is a great development for the growth and development of the economy and for food security. So these developments will provide a great push to the agriculture sector, like the approval of the National Mission for Edible Oils is a great thing, which aims to making India self-reliant in 7 years in the oil seeds production. And this will provide Sathi portal, S-A-T-H-I portal, enabling states to coordinate with the stakeholders for timely availability of quality seeds. So the objective of all these schemes is to push the agriculture growth trajectory to the next level, as we are very, very resilient in the agriculture growth, and we are providing a great push to this sector with the policy formulation and various facilitations to our farmers. And I would say that agriculture is performing very well during the recent years, particularly in the post-COVID years. Agriculture supported the difficult times also, and growing at more than 3% during the last many years, barring last year only. And this year also expectations are that agriculture will become a great support to the economy at this juncture to move forward. And this will provide a great facilitation to the farmers in terms of various schemes like soil health management, rainfed area development, agroforestry, and all these agricultural mechanization, including the crop residue management. The total funds are more than 1 lakh crore. So this is a great facilitation from the central government to promote the agriculture sector at the state level and to make it more and more resilient in the coming times.
Mr. Chandrasekhar, do you think that the government decision has come at a crucial time when the agriculture sector is facing multiple challenges, including climate change, dwindling soil health, and rising input costs?
Absolutely. In fact, it's for me so heartwarming, so heartening. For at least 10 or 12 years, 15 years, in fact, I've been writing about how fragmented our efforts are in the direction of ensuring agricultural growth. We have too many schemes. All these schemes work in silos and isolation. Now, this new proposal seeks to bring all these different schemes, whether it's for oil seeds, pulses, grains, forced cereals, etc., under one umbrella. And I think this is what is required. And this holistic approach, take agriculture as a whole, and try and address production and productivity issues is what this country needs. And therefore, it's definitely come at a crucial time, particularly because I see, and I've been writing and talking about this, there are three major challenges confronting our agriculture: land constraints, water shortage, climate change. Three big challenges which we need to overcome. And I'm hoping and I'm positive that this new initiative of bringing all those various different schemes under one umbrella to have an omnibus policy to promote agriculture will certainly bear dividends. The point very simply is, I would urge, and I've spoken about it in the past, that while we have the scheme, implementation is a key. The state governments have a big role to play in this. And therefore, it is extremely important for the center and the states to work together, to work in tandem. This is the first point. The second point, what is equally important is the outcome. And therefore, we need a monitoring and evaluation cell or a desk or a group of experts for monitoring and evaluation of how these monies are spent, on what it is spent, and what is the outcome. I think that outcome-based policies and outcome-based budgeted expenditure is what is going to help us. The next point I want to talk about is the food security. The Shunnati Yojana is extremely important. Again, we are facing two challenges, particularly climate change. All of us have seen in the last 3 years how our wheat production is down, wheat export is banned. Rice production is down, rice export is banned. Our edible oil imports have expanded. Pulses imports have increased. All that. So that's the effect of climate change. And we need to be focusing our attention a lot more on climate smart agriculture, and which is what I think and I'm sure these two schemes will do. And once we do this, I think fairly going over the next 5 to 6 years, 7 years, I'm sure Indian agriculture will have sustained growth in sustainable ways. That should be our objective. And I'm sure these schemes are intended to deliver that objective, sustain the growth in sustainable ways.
Mr. Sharma, what are the key features of the PM Rashtriya Krishi Vikas Yojana, and how will these features help in achieving the stated goals of promoting sustainable agriculture and enhancing farmers' incomes?
Government focus is to enhance the farmers' income. They are focusing since long. And recently, we are successful that our agriculture exports are increasing significantly in the global markets. And we increased our agriculture exports from $30 billion to $40 billion. And in the recent years, around $50 billion. So that is the great export trajectory, which has happened during the last 3-4 years, and supporting the farmers also and the rural demand also. And that is the growth of manufacturing, which is reflecting through the growing rural demand. So now these two major breakthroughs in the segment of the agriculture sector, like the National Mission on Edible Oils and the PM Rashtriya Krishi Vikas Yojana. So these two developments are major push for the overall agriculture sector. As I mentioned that this PM RKVY comprises the 9 major segments, which are soil health management, rain feed area development, agroforestry, in the Krishi Vikas Yojana, agriculture mechanization, then the pearl drop, more crop, crop diversification, and the RKVY DPR component, and the accelerator fund for agriculture startups. So all these 9 parameters are very, very important for the sustainability of the agriculture sector and to promote the growth trajectory of the agriculture.
So my next question is to Mr. Chandrasekhar. Given the fact that India is aiming to become a developed country over the next few years, and we are the world's most populous country, in this background, how important it is to achieve food security and agricultural self-sufficiency, the Krishonnati Yojana, it aims to achieve these two goals. So what are the highlights of this initiative, and how important is this initiative to achieve this aim of self-sufficiency and food security?
Absolutely important, most critical is food security, and as important as food security is nutrition security. And as I said earlier, land constraint, water shortage, climate change. These are 3 major challenges Indian agriculture is facing. We are a tropical nation, and tropical countries are a lot more vulnerable to the adverse effects of climate change. And we are witness to the adverse effects of climate change. And therefore, it is important for us to ensure that our food security is not compromised. All our entire population gets to eat nutritious foods. It should be accessible. It should be affordable. It should be available. And therefore, that's the purpose of this Krishonnati Yojana, which is commendable. All of us also know very clearly that our nutrition status needs to improve, put it that way. And therefore, when you have better production, higher production of more nutritious crops, and when it is distributed and consumed, obviously it will contribute to better nutrition securities. I have all the time said, you can actually import food from the world market because you have the foreign exchange. Nutrition is not a commodity that is available. So right. We should be focusing equally on nutrition security as much as we do on food security. But Once you are food secure, then it's a matter of distribution of food in terms of affordability, accessibility and availability. Therefore, I completely support this initiative. And again, at the risk of repetition, let me mention implementation. Implementation is the key.
Mr. Sharma, under the PMRKVY, the state governments have been given the flexibility to reallocate funds from one component to the other based on their specific requirements. As an economic analyst, how do you view this? How important is this particular provision?
I believe this is a great support because states sometimes face the financial challenges and some kind of leverage that they can move forward with their proper implementation, and they can articulate the policies according to the needs of the respective population in their particular regions. So I think this is again a great development by the central government that states will be able to draw a comprehensive strategic plan according to their suitability of their particular agriculture sector, particular region. So I think this is a supporting point for the states to move forward and to strengthen their particular agriculture scenarios, because agriculture is a major backbone of many of the states, because we are a agrarian country and most of the population is dependent on the agriculture sector and for their livelihood. So this development will facilitate the agriculture scenario in their respective regions and also socio-economic development, because the push in the agriculture sector will bring a lot of prosperity in the other sectors also, because agriculture creates demand trajectory in the rural areas as most of the population lives in the rural areas. So I believe this is again a major economic breakthrough for the states of India.
Mr. Chandrasekhar, you've been talking about implementation. Like you said, it is a challenge. And when we talk about this particular measure under the PMRKVY, where the states have been given this flexibility to reallocate funds, so it also very clearly shows the center-state coordination, the federal structure of our government. What do you have to say about this?
The center and the states have to work together for the scheme to succeed. And the scheme has to succeed. About 45% of our workforce is engaged in agriculture, but it contributes to only 14, 15, 16% of the GDP. And therefore, there's a big mismatch between its contribution and the number of people working. And therefore, our agriculture needs to be strengthened through various schemes, mechanisms, and of course, through investment. And therefore, this is that initiative that is going to strengthen our agriculture. And we need to measure the outcomes. And therefore, we need some key performance indicators. How do you measure the outcomes? We need indicators. Therefore, I would think the government will have to come up with some key performance indicators and see whether these performance indicators have been met, whether they have been exceeded, or some they've fallen short, and then take remedial measures. I think that is how corporates work. So this KPI, key performance indicator, is a very significant tool for us to assess how monies are spent and what the outcome is. And in this, the states and the center will have to do in partnership. This is number one. Number two, we all know so well that different states have different resources. Resources are not uniform across states. And therefore, states also have to follow a certain differentiated agricultural strategy depending on its resources available. I would again think center will also have to help the states in designing the differentiated agriculture policy for each state. And therefore, I think it is more of a partnership between the center and the state to make a program succeed. But this program is very critical for India, and our own success, our own move towards Viksit Bharat in the next two decades is extremely important, but that can happen with partnership between the center and the state.
Mr. Chandrasekhar, let me continue with you. So these two schemes are a result of the cabinet's decision to approve the proposal of the Department of Agriculture and Farmers Welfare for rationalization of all centrally sponsored schemes under this ministry. What was the reason for this rationalization, and how will it benefit the agriculture sector?
There are so many different schemes of the central government that it gets fragmented. All these schemes have to be brought under one umbrella called dovetailing. And this initiative dovetails all the different schemes. And once all the schemes are brought under one umbrella and then implemented with the partnership of the state government, the effectiveness of the schemes, the effectiveness of the monies that are spent or invested, and the outcomes will be far superior as compared with when they are implemented in a fragmented manner. And therefore, it will lead to cost saving it will lead to better efficiency in the implementation of the schemes, and obviously by implication, it will lead to better outcomes.
Mr. Sharma, would you like to add something as an economist about this rationalization process and add to what Mr. Chandrasekhar has just said?
Yes, I totally agree with Mr. Chandrasekhar. Policy should not be in isolation. There must be a great synchronization between the center and the state, and also between the policies. Major synchronization is needed. So I think rationalization of various schemes is provided to avoid duplication of the schemes and to ensure convergence of the schemes and provide flexibility to the states. These are the, I think, major objectives behind the rationalization of the various schemes. Because no scheme can work in isolation. There must be convergence between the schemes and the convergence between the center and state policies to move forward and to strengthen the trajectory of agriculture sector. As mentioned by Mr. Chandrasekhar, that agriculture is the backbone, actually. Without agriculture, we can't grow, and our journey will not be that much strong towards our Viksit Bharat if the agriculture sector is not facilitated or boosted or strengthened in the recent times, because this is the great time to move forward, to become more strong and to strengthen our rural sector and particularly the farmers' income, so that demand trajectory is boosted. Because if the demand is not there, then the manufacturing sector will also not grow, services will also not grow. And the major demand is coming from the agriculture, as we say that 45 to 50% population is still dependent on the agriculture sector. So this is the apparent fact that a major chunk of demand, around 45 to 50% is coming from the agriculture segment. So if the agriculture sector is supported, like the policies which the government recently announced, so I believe agriculture sector is going to become a great support and a great growth engine of the Indian economy in the coming times, and to strengthen our thought towards our Viksit Bharat by 2047.
Mr. Sharma, India is still heavily reliant on imports to meet nearly 60% of its domestic demand for edible oils. Given this scenario, how significant is the other cabinet decision to approve a national mission on edible oil seeds, or the NEMO oil seeds, which will be implemented over the next 7 years?
Yes, that is a great thing. I believe we are majorly dependent on the import segment, and this will provide a great push to the oil seed production and facilitation to the consumption segment. Because this mission aims to significantly enhance the domestic oilseed production, because we are significantly dependent on the global market, and sometimes the prices shoot up and because of mismatch between the demand and supply. So I believe this is again a great development for the advancement of our Atmanirbhar Bharat, as we say that we have to be self-reliant in the coming times so that our demand trajectory is supported with our indigenous production possibilities in the manufacturing, in the services, and in the agriculture sector also, as we grow more and we fulfill our demand trajectory. This mission will provide a 7 years trajectory from 24-25 to 2030-31 with a financial outlay of more than 10,000 crore. And the focus is to enhance the production of the primary oilseed crops. And this mission aims to increase the primary oilseed production from 39 million tons in 22-23 to around 70 million tons by 2030-31. That is the objective of this mission, to strengthen our oilseed production and to fulfill our domestic demand trajectory. And this mission targets to increase the domestic edible oil production to 25.45 million tons by 2030-31, meeting around 72% of our projected domestic requirement. So this is a great development, because more than 70% demand will be met by our domestic production, which is a great announcement by the government to facilitate our oilseed production and to become self-reliant in the coming times.
May I add something?
Please go ahead.
As someone who's been tracking this oilseeds and pulses sector, I'm happy to find in this Krishunati Yojana, particularly drawing better benefits out of non-traditional oil seeds like, say, cotton seed, rice bran, tree bone oil seeds, etc. These are very, very important sources of vegetable oils. But more important than that is that our agriculture sector in general is crying for infusion of technology. There are multiple technologies available for agriculture in general, and oil seeds in particular. I would talk about information and communication technology, agriculture biotechnology, nuclear agriculture technology, satellite technology, nanotechnology, drones, field robotics. digitization, there are multiple technologies. And I somewhere do not find, let me be honest, I do not find reference to technology infusion. I hope I've not missed out reading that, but I can't recall reading technology infusion in both these schemes. Technology infusion is very, very important to strengthen agriculture and to help farmers optimize their input application and, of course, maximize their output. And therefore, I think that technology infusion is certainly has to be an integral part of our oilseed development program. This is number one. Number two, we are very large importers of edible oil. We import 14 to 15 million tons of various edible oils, including palm oil, spend $12, $13, $14 billion. And therefore, we need to move towards Atmanirbhar very, very rapidly. But as someone who's been tracking this for decades, we haven't made much progress. But is this the new beginning? I would like to think so, that this should be the new beginning. But oilseed production, productivity, extraction efficiency, all this will come about only with infusion of multiple technologies.
You know, it's very interesting that you're mentioning the infusion of technology as a very crucial step for increasing oilseed productions, because my next question is about that only. The mission will also leverage technology, if I may say so, by introducing a portal called the Seed Authentication, Traceability and Holistic Inventory, or the Sathi portal. Now, this will not only ensure the timely availability of quality seeds, but also enable states to establish advanced tie-ups with seed-producing agencies. So that was my question, exactly what you've just answered. Yeah. And if you can elaborate a little more on that. How important is using technology in a traditional occupation such as agriculture, if we talk about the entire agriculture sector?
We always think our farmers, agriculture is, give him the technology. If he finds benefit from that technology, he'll adopt it very, very quickly. What happened to BT cotton seed? 95% of area under cotton today is under BT cotton seed because he's found benefit from that technology seed. Farmer wants technology. Farmer is happy to adopt technology, but we need to build capacity in him to be able to absorb that technology, which is important. And therefore, capacity building and converting farmers into savvy traders. Eventually, farmers must become traders. They should be able to read market signals, whether to sell today, hold back, or sell in advance, sell at a future date. And does he have the right infrastructure to store the cargo? I think those are all market-related issues. Or we need to build capacity amongst farmers to make him savvy traders. I think that should be the ultimate victory for the twin agriculture policy. And therefore, we need to address lack of technology, or that there is a vacuum, there's a crying need, and there has to be a huge amount of encouragement. For example, digitization of the supply chain, whether it is input supplies or output supplies, I think really we should be able to digitize the supply chain so that we will be able to capture supply chain efficiencies. Today, our supply chain is honestly, I won't say very efficient, it's not so efficient. There are cost leakages. The supply chain is very long. If you're able to shorten the supply chain and capture the benefits, that will get converted into better price for the farmer and possibly lower price for the end consumer. Therefore, technology is important in multiple ways.
Mr. Sharma, in recent times, the government has increased the minimum support price for mandated edible oil seeds through the Pradhan Mantri Annadata Aay Sanrakshan Abhiyan. Additionally, a 20% import duty on edible oils has been levied to protect domestic producers from cheap imports and to encourage local cultivation. Now, when we take these steps along with the NEMO Oil Seeds Mission, how will these measures boost and encourage the country to achieve self-reliance in oil seeds production?
This is a great synchronization between the policies, because earlier government announced the policies to reduce the cost of production of agriculture products and facilitated the price also, so that the price cost margins of the farmers are becoming strong and they are more motivated to produce more. So now this NEMO Oil Seeds Mission, this is again a great development to connect those announced policies with the latest development with the financial facilitation to the oil seed mission. So great synchronization of this environment, I think, will support the self-reliance in the agriculture sector, as mentioned by Chandrasekhar ji also, that implementation is a great thing in the country, as the policies are implemented, and the awareness about the policies is also very, very important, because the sometimes the awareness is not there, then the farmers are not able to get the benefits of the proper policy environment. So the awareness along with the implementation is these are the two basic parameters to move forward and to make effective policies at the ground level.
Right. My last question is going to be addressed to both of you. I'll start with you first, Mr. Sharma. How do you see the developments in the agriculture sector in the last 10 years? And I want a brief sum up of the overall developments and the initiatives that have been taken in the last 10 years.
In the last 10 years, there is a great breakthrough in the agriculture sector. I would say during the last many decades, we have not observed a sustained growth of agriculture sector more than 3% continuously for 4 or 5 years. But we observed during the 17, 18, then 18, 19, 19, 20, 21, 22, the sustained growth of more than 3% in the agriculture sector, which has happened a great thing in the Indian economy during the last, I think, many decades. So this sustainability of the growth will provide a great support to the farmers with their increased confidence in the agriculture sector and to produce more and to become more and more strong in their income levels.
Mr. Chandrasekhar, what would you like to say about the developments in the agriculture sector in the last 10 years?
Absolutely. I think we've had a kind of renewed focus in the last 10 years on agriculture, but tied over multiple challenges. We must continue to pursue those initiatives, but all those initiatives are now under a single scheme, which again is a very comprehensive way, comprehensive approach to agriculture. And I have no doubt that if implemented strictly and with good outcomes, Indian agriculture should prosper. We will have sustained growth in sustainable ways.
Yes.
And that will contribute to our food security and nutrition security. But this is an ongoing exercise. It's not an event. It's a process. It should just continue. And the focus should remain. So I would say we need Shraddha. We need Saburi. We need Shraddha, which is commitment. Saburi, which is patience. Because you need to be patient to see the results. Results are not going to happen overnight. So once we have commitment and patience, results will follow.
Mr. Sharma, Mr. Chandrasekhar, thank you so much for joining us on this program and sharing your views on the cabinet decision related to the agriculture sector.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You are listening to a discussion on cabinet decisions regarding self-sufficiency and sustainability in agricultural sector. The participants were G. Chandrasekhar, agriculture expert, and S.P. Sharma, economic analyst. The moderator was Anubha Rohatgi, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at AIR.